Blessings to all, and God be with you. We have a lot of responsibilities in life, a lot of responsibilities in the Christian life, and there's a lot of requirements in the Christian life. And I've run across this phrase in the New Testament, acceptable with God. Acceptable with God. But before we get into that, I'd like to do a small roll call, see if some of you are here. Like to respond by raising your hand. Is there an Adam Miller here? Jonathan Adam Miller, that is. How about a Garnett Miller? Jason Garnett Miller, not here. There he is. A James Knapp? Marcus James Knapp? John Ford? Well, Denton John Ford? Hi. And a Courtney Sadler? Lauren? Courtney Sadler? The name you use on an everyday basis is what people know you by. But the real you is your whole name. That's the real you. And sometimes in our life, it's the same way. The way we act in public, the way we act to our friends, is what they know us by. But the real you is what goes on inside all the time. I mean, maybe you don't always show that to everybody. So being acceptable with God is about the real you. Not as people know you, but the real you, who you really are. We try to be acceptable to people to one degree or another, because life is much more pleasant if people like us and think well of us. But the message is about being acceptable with God. And that involves more than what you're known by. It's more than your first name. It's your whole name. It's who you really, really are, for real, all the time, at the end of the day. Sometimes, I've seen this happen, sometimes as a person gets older and they start coming to the very end of life, sometimes things pop up and it's like, oh, I remember. I did something many years ago. And now it's bothering. Can I still settle that? Does that other person still live? Can I make this right? Will the Lord forgive me? And maybe the real you starts to surface at a time when life is about gone. And we realize that spiritual corrections need to be done while we have life. So is that the real you? Is that the real you coming out at that point? Now, I realize sometimes in the last phase of life, we can have confusion. We can have a mind that's very tired by this point. We can maybe focus on things that God forgave long ago, but it still comes up. And we pray that each person would find peace throughout that. But the thought this morning is acceptable with God, and what does that mean to me and to you today? Today, am I acceptable with God? I would like to read the verse of Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth, you all probably know this by heart, and the meditation of my heart, and think how much that encompasses. Everything I say and everything I think, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that's the focus this morning. Acceptable with God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the one isn't enough. If my heart is right, then surely my words will be right. But my words might be right without my heart being right. And so here the psalmist is saying, let both of them come together and be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. My Redeemer, my strength, through this I can do this. My Redeemer, I can be forgiven where I have failed. My strength and my Redeemer, that everything might be acceptable with you, Lord, that my actions, my speech, and my thoughts, meditation in my heart. Sometimes we might have the words right, and we might even have the actions right. What about the thoughts? Sometimes I think the thought life is the last stronghold to be conquered. We come to the Lord. We start into the Christian life. And we clean up this and we clean up that. And we know we have to get rid of sin. But sometimes the thought life is maybe the last thing that keeps dragging on and getting in. And why is that? Possibly because nobody else sees it. And we don't have any pressure from somebody else of can point anything out because it's so hidden. But in order to be acceptable with God, even that, and of course that, the meditation of my heart has to be acceptable with God. Another verse I'd like to look at in the Old Testament, and Proverbs 10:32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. And I'd like to say, the lips of the unrighteous also know what's acceptable, but it doesn't change the heart. We can say the right things. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the unrighteous also know what's acceptable, and that's not good enough. That is not good enough. In the New Testament, I have found this phrase, acceptable with God, kind of boils down into three categories. And I'd like to look at all three of those this morning. To be acceptable with God, first of all, is very personal. My personal life. And turn to Romans 12 for that one. When the Word tells us that certain things are acceptable with God, do we not do well to consider that the opposite is not acceptable with God? Why the stress on this is acceptable with God tells me there's an opposite there. If I don't do that, if I'm not that, then not accepted by God? As we look at this, let's keep that in mind as well. But this is one of the places where it mentions being acceptable to God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, it's only possible through God, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is getting very personal. This is talking about me, the actual body that I have, to be giving that to God. Not just my spirit, not just my soul, not just my thought life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What else can we expect for someone who's going to be a follower of God? This is your reasonable service. Nothing extraordinary. To come to a holy God, you have to be holy. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he comes back to the phrase again, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we talk about words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, and now here he's bringing it down to your flesh, the actual person of you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? If we think of sacrifice, we think of an animal in the Old Testament. We think of one that is tied, so he can no longer escape. He's bound, he's restricted, he's brought to the altar. He's not going anywhere anymore. This is being given to God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The body that's restrained, the body that's brought under control to be given to God, that it might be acceptable with God. Restraining the body means restraining the sin desires, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. A body that's no longer running after its own ideas, its own feelings, but brought under control by the Spirit, presented to God, holy. It's your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's what God expects. And so very possible. By the mercies of God, do this. This is acceptable with God. So being accepted by God, first of all, requires a very personal submission sacrifice of not just my thoughts, but my very body. What I do with this body, what this body is allowed to do, what this body is not allowed to do. This, we are told, is our reasonable service. This is acceptable unto God. In another place we read that the spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh is against the spirit. Well, we know it's the Spirit of God that needs to win at the end of that battle. And you cannot do the things that you would, meaning you cannot flow with the actions that the body wants. I've heard people say that the flesh is never converted. It has to always be held in restriction. But we also read that our entire body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. So that's the restricted body where the spirit is in control. A living sacrifice. While we are still in this life, while we still are flesh, this is the living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. Another thing that brings this acceptable with God on a personal level is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. This one's hard. This can be difficult. It's talking about servants a few verses before this and them being, you might say, submissive to their masters. And sometimes when things don't go right, you are talked to or corrected or restricted in some way. Maybe it's referring to that, but I think it could well be that this involves other parts of life as well. And it's just this: what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? In other words, you should. You're guilty, you're corrected, live with it. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Back to our phrase again, what we're looking at this morning, acceptable with God. If you are treated wrong or chastised in any way for doing well, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So the opposite would be not taking it patiently, rising up. You're right. They can't do this to me. I have to correct this. Why? Why do we need to correct this? If someone actually believes you did wrong, it's obviously okay to state your innocence. But buffet it for your faults. This is taking it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Why? Can we analyze that? Why? Well, isn't it the picture of Jesus and the way he was? The lamb to the slaughter that opened not its mouth? Here I am. That's what you wish to think of me. That's what you wish to do to me. He reviled. Being reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't answer back. He didn't argue. Just take it. Just take it. It's the picture of Christ. This is acceptable with God. Is that harder to do if it's a non-Christian? What if it's one of your own brotherhood? Again, there's a time to state your innocence. Finally, take it. This is acceptable with God. Very personal level. Does God simply want to see our submission, our level of no more existing arrogance that used to be there? Bear it patiently. Bear it patiently. I'm sure it's character building as well. On another level that we are acceptable with God, in the verses that I've found with this phrase, is in the church. The corporate church life and how we respond to that and how we act within that. 1 Peter 2:5, and that's a wrong reference. No, it's a right reference, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2:5. Let's read this. Ye also, as lively stones, which means living stones, ye also as... Whoever heard of a stone that lives? What are we talking about here? Let's stop and think through this. A living stone. Our answer is the next phrase, are built up a spiritual house. Okay, so we're a stone in the sense that we are part of the construction. We're one of the many individuals that makes up the body of Christ. We're part of the church. We make up this spiritual house. So we're a stone. We're part of the construction. But we're alive. Everyone is an individual living thing, like the living sacrifice we read about. Now it's a living stone. You are part of the construction, but you're alive. Ye also then, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, our phrase, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So I'm going to look at the spiritual house this morning as the church, the body of believers, the brotherhood, the togetherness that we experience and feel and are a real part of. So as this living stone, I build that because I am one of many, a holy priesthood. Do you think of yourself as a priest? Is it the church that's the priest? It's a priesthood, many together. If we talk about a brotherhood or something, it's not one person. It's many together. So each one is part of the brotherhood, part of the priesthood. And here it's described as simply that. And with this, this is acceptable with God. This is part of the plan. What is a priesthood? It was those who communed with God and then were involved with the sacrifices and were involved with the things of God on a very real basis for the good of others. So that's the church. That's you and I. We commune with God. We bring the sacrifice of myself to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, which involves many things. The New Testament church is a picture of the priesthood. It was holy, it was consecrated, it was set apart for a very special work. That's us. That's every true believer in Christ. We are a priesthood. Living stones, spiritual house, holy priesthood, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We don't do this without being saved through the blood, redeemed by Jesus Christ. That puts us into the priesthood. That's what makes it work out. This is acceptable to God. The other one, that the other phrase on acceptable to God is found in Romans 14:13 and also pertains to life in the church, life with the believers. This relates to people living together in closeness, like we do in the church, where we get to know each other so well that we see each other's faults and shortcomings. And I realize at that point that you're not perfect, like I thought, and you realize I'm not perfect, like I should be. And in some ways, I would do it this way, but you're doing it that way. And to one degree or another, we're all opinionated. And maybe in our own way, we're a perfectionist. Some much more than others. Some people get disturbed if your lunch of beans and lettuce and tomatoes isn't stacked the right way on your plate. It's only one way to really do it right. The next person just doesn't care. He says, I don't have time for this kind of stuff. And when we get into the spiritual realm, when we get into church life, we get the same way. We bring ourselves along, don't we? You do it this way, but I really think it should be done that way. And you might be unhappy with the way I'm doing something. And then here's God through Jesus trying to build up this spiritual priesthood. And some of these things do not matter in the sight of God. And we think it matters. And so he's trying to calm us down. He's saying, look, I love that person and I love you. And in this issue, you need to let each other alone. Because friction and strife is bad at any time. But for sure, let's don't let it happen over things that God doesn't care about. There's a lot of things God does care about. But in this portion, I'm just going to start at verse 4 and read through it. And let's just grab what he's trying to say. And we can apply it to a lot of things, but let's get the thought. Verse 4, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, yet he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand, no matter how he eats his salad. Okay? One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. Like, we shouldn't work on Ascension Day. We always worked on Ascension Day. And he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself. When you're part of a group, it matters what you do. It matters how you act. You're not living to yourself. No man is an island. We're a continent with many countries, many counties, thousands of people. No man lives to himself. So it's important how you live. It's important how you act. It's important how you treat others. And no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And here's where we're looking out for each other. And I don't do certain things because I know you wouldn't like it. And I don't flaunt my liberty in front of you because I know it would bother you. And so out of respect, we respect each other's convictions and each other's practices. And we try to come together. And he just got done telling us, there's things here that don't matter before God. He's pleased when you do it, and he's just as pleased when I don't do it. But that doesn't mean I disregard you or judge you in what you're doing. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God. There's our phrase. When you live that way, carefully with each other, respecting each other, not running over each other, this is acceptable with God. Part of that corporate priesthood life that we live. So in the personal, we can be acceptable with God, and in these things, acceptable with God. As we serve together, being part of and building up the body, that living stone that is alive. And then there's another phrase, acceptable with God. This one's going to be hard for some of you. It's found in 1 Timothy 2. And you might say this is on the level of society. This is on the level of our government. And again, there's something here where we can or might not be acceptable with God. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications or asking for the good of another, prayers, intercessions, Lord, please help this person, and giving of thanks, being grateful for what they do for you in your life, be made for all men, for kings. Who's my king today? Is it Mr. President Biden, possibly? Is that my king? And for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So back that up. First of all, the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for my president and his cabinet. Is that what he's saying? I think so. And when we're not happy with that person, and it's the wrong party, and they're way too liberal, have you thanked God for the president and vice president you have right now? What's this saying? For kings and all that are in authority, this is acceptable in the sight of God? Sometimes the word is pretty blunt, isn't it? Is that me? Not as much as it should be. I want to commit right here to doing better with being thankful and praying for all those in authority over me. No matter, it doesn't say how good or bad they have to be to get my prayers. But I'm supposed to pray for them. And I'm supposed to be thankful for them? It says so. Giving of thanks be made for all men. This is children to parents. This is for all the school teachers, all the ministry, all our state leaders, including those people. Yeah, those people too. What can I say? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. If I'm going to be saved in the end, what does it matter what I had to live under while I was in the flesh for a few years? Meanwhile, God says, I have an order, and this is the way it is. Submit yourself, show your true colors as a part of the priesthood in all situations for all people. This is what I want for you. This is acceptable with God. Especially this year, politics. Whew, feelings run high. Feel a little bit pumped up myself sometimes. And then I have to say, look, God's going to have his way when November comes. It won't be a surprise to God who wins the election. Lord, whatever you want, bring it on. We'll survive. If we don't, that's okay. That's okay. I told one person, I said, the next 4 years will go by and we'll probably still be here. Well, some people might not know if we will be here. And that's okay too. Whatever comes our way, good or bad and bad, what can I say? Thank you, Lord, that there is structure and authority, and that you had your way with whatever plan of development you might have in mind, and I don't understand it, Thank you, Lord. And please help them to make right decisions. Just don't forget even that phase of being acceptable with God. Let's kneel for prayer.